have your Bibles this morning, book of Exodus. What happened? That's the question Moses asked of Aaron. What happened? I want us to look this morning at what can happen. Has it happened? I want you to see this morning, if you would, notice Exodus 24. The Bible says in verse 10, and they saw the God of Israel. Now, picture in your mind, this is the same group that was enslaved in Egypt. And God has come in and delivered them from Egypt, brought them across the Red Sea. I mean, they've gotten them ready. Now they're getting ready to go into the Promised Land, and they're all excited about things, and they have gotten the opportunity to come to Mount Sinai, and Moses is there, and Joshua, and the Lord says, look, I want to talk to you. And so there's an excitement going on. I want you to notice not only they saw God, but I want you to see they said they wanted to worship Him. Notice, if you would, just a few verses, Exodus 24 and verse number 7. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. Verse 8, and Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord had made with you concerning all these words. God said, I'm going to promise if you follow me, I'm going to take you into the promised land. I'm going to bless you like you cannot believe. Now, let me just take just a minute. We have been blessed beyond what we can believe. Everybody here. I mean, it used to be when you had an accident and lost a leg, you're on crutches the rest of your life. Now they can make you a prosthetic leg. And you can run in the Olympics. Used to be, when you had a lung problem, you didn't have much time. Now they can replace your lungs. Used to be, when your heart got weak, you begin to swell and get congestive heart failure, they could give you a new heart. Do you realize the privilege that we have in medical technology in this world? Jeremy brought it up in a sermon a while back when he went over to Africa, and I can remember taking glasses over, reading glasses. How many of you need your glasses to read? Let me see your eyes. Let me see your eyes. Your hands. Okay. Your eyes. I'm with the kids. Let me see your eyes. Okay. I see your hands. Okay. When you can't get a hold of your glasses, man, you're kind of lost, you know. You pick something up, you can't read it. Isn't it wonderful that you can just go grab a set of glasses? You can go to a doctor and they can you see this? Can you see this? Can you see this? Pretty soon you put on a set of glasses, clear vision. There's millions and millions of people that cannot see today. Though they can see the sun, moon, and the stars, and they can look around, but they can't read. They can't see certain things. Their vision's not clear. We are blessed. I can remember as a kid. How many of you remember the old water coolers that went in the windows? Anybody remember those? Anybody remember water cooler? I see a few hands. Yep. I remember as a young kid going over to my babysitter's house. My parents were working, and I remember it was the neatest thing I'd ever seen. It was in the windows, a huge thing, and it had water. You could hear it bubbling around in the bottom of it. And a fan would blow over that water, that cool water, and you could actually feel it was cooler in front of that water cooler, maybe 4 or 5 degrees. And it was like, wow, it's 100 in Texas. You get it's only 95. Wow. Was wonderful. How many of you get in your car and you can't wait for your air conditioning to get up to speed? Or you're in your house and you say, wow, it's a little sultry. Turn on the air to get all the humidity out. We're rich. We're blessed of God. I want you to understand today, the blessings of God can entitle us to where we feel like we earned it. We deserve more. I mean, I want you to understand that you can actually see the Lord with your own eyes. You can make Him promises, Lord, I will always follow You. I will always be at church for You, Lord. I will always. And then all of a sudden God begins to bless you, and we begin to get those blessings. And, you know, I got a place for, I mean, even our cars have got garages. You know, they got a place to get out of the weather. I remember my grandfather had a barn so the animals could get out of the weather. But we've got places for our cars to get out of the weather. We're rich. You know, I think we thought we were suffering when there's no toilet paper. And we're really suffering now, you know, because there was no there were no paper towels hardly to be found for a while. And yet, we're blessed. Notice what also. Look at Exodus 24. They saw, verse 10, they saw the God of Israel. There was under His feet His repaved work of sapphire stone. They actually saw Him in a heavenly form. And as it were the body of heaven in His clearness. Verse 11. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel He laid not His hand. As also they saw God and did eat and drink. Do you realize what they did? God says, I want Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Nadab, and Abihu. I want your sons, and I want all the 70 men of Israel. Take your Bible, look back over to chapter 24, verse 1. Notice if you would. And He said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. There's the beginning of the Sanhedrin. And notice it says, and worship ye afar off. Do you realize we don't have to worship afar off? We can worship the Lord face to face. But if we're not careful, we'll see the Lord, get a picture of the Lord when our heart is really right. And then what will happen is we'll see Him, and then we'll say, Lord, I want to serve You. I want to do everything right, Lord. I want to love You and serve You with all of my heart. And then the old devil comes around and he begins to tempt us with things. And God, as a loving Heavenly Father, blesses us with things. And we can become like the prodigal son. Lord, I'm going to go tell my dad I want what I want now. Now, there's a reason why they saw God. There's a reason why they saw Him. Why they said they wanted to worship Him. And while they slept. And I want you to see this morning so that we can be strong in the Lord. Oh, I don't want this pandemic. You know, a lot of people said we've got a chance to spend more time as a family. It's been good for our family. And then I had somebody come in and say, wow, this is the first time I had on a suit in about 3 months. What have you been having? Well, just my pajamas. And, you know, I've been going to church in my pajamas. Well, I understand. Sure, it's good to be in a suit today. Just, it's almost like I'm going to go meet the Lord. I'm excited about it. Well, you know what? How is it we slip to where we get up on a Sunday morning and say, you know, I don't think I'm going to go to church today. I don't think I'm going to read my Bible today. I got some things planned. I'll catch the Lord in the truck. How is it we begin to slip? Now, I want you to see this morning that you can even have the Lord invite you to dinner and slip in less than 40 days. I want you to see it. Notice if you would, in this passage, look up in verse number 13. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua. Moses went up into the mount of God. So God says, Moses, I want you and Joshua to come up. I got some things to give you. And so I want you to listen this morning. I want you to understand this can happen to anybody. It's not these were bad people. They were normal people just like us. But they had the privilege of seeing the Lord face to face. They had the privilege of eating dinner with Him. They ate and drank with the Lord. None of us have had that privilege. And yet within 40 days, they had already turned their back on Him and said, let's worship another God. How does that happen? What happened? And that's my fear. I'm afraid there'll be some people never come back to church, or they won't come back with the same heart. I want you to understand today that slippage is easy. Strength is work. But all of us can be strong in the Lord. All of us can slip. And I just noticed that if you would take your Bible and notice with me, if you would, in Exodus 32 that Jeremy read, you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 1, Exodus 32:1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said, up, make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what's become of him. Now, folks, how is it in 37, 38? We don't know how long it was when this happened. We know that Moses was in the mount 40 days, but it happened before that. So we don't know if it happened at 35 days, 36 days. But I'll tell you what did happen. It says, the Bible says, and when Moses delayed, they had their own plans. And it didn't include the plan of God, wait 40 days. He didn't tell them. Anytime you and I develop our own plan and we become impatient, we don't wait on the Lord and His blessings and His goodness. How many of that's part of what's wrong with our millennial generation is they want the same thing their parents have without the work. We want the freedom without World War I, without World War II. We haven't paid that price. But there's a cost to freedom. And you can't throw that out. But if you haven't been one to pay the price, or you haven't, you didn't have your brother pay the price, or your father pay the price, it's easy to say, well, freedom is easy to get. It's not easy to get. It's easy to lose. Slippage happens. And it happens whenever we begin to say, well, you know, things aren't going according to my schedule. They delayed to come down. You know what Moses did? Moses, you read it. Moses, take your Bible and turn to Exodus 24. And I want you to see the plan of God. I want you to see God is patient. God is not in a rush. We are. How many of you are looking forward to some new thing coming out? Or you're looking forward to something that you'd like to purchase, or something you'd like to buy, or some maybe a new iPhone or a new cell phone, or you're waiting to get something new. Well, you know, but I've waited long enough. I want to go get it. Anybody ever had that feeling? I want to go get it. Well, Lord, I want to go get it, but is it okay with you? If you take that away, your plan supersedes God's plan. And that's the first step of slippage. It's when we have our own plan. This is what I want to do. And notice what happened. Look at Exodus 24. Look in verse number 16. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day, God, He called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Can you imagine? The Lord said, Moses, you and Joshua come up. I want to talk to you. I've got some plans I'm going to lay out for you for the tabernacle. I got some plans for my people to worship me, the Ten Commandments, the things that are most important to me at this point in time. They're good things to live by. I'm going to give them to you, and I'm going to write it on tables of stone and give it back to you. You can take it down. And God didn't say when. So Moses and Joshua get up. I can guarantee you the first day, Have you any idea? Did the Lord say when he's going to tell us? Did you remember anything? I don't. Second day. I can promise you, after about 30 minutes, I would already have said, Joshua, how long do you think he's going to wait? Did I miss something? What about 3 days and not a word from God? 4 days. Anytime you and I get impatient, we get impatient as a child. I want that thing. We get impatient as an adult. I'm going to go get me that car. I'm going to go, I got to get to work. We get impatient and leave the presence of the Lord out. The Bible says the children of Israel saw that Moses delayed. According to whom? To them. Not God. God's on his plan. It's always right. He never makes a mistake. And the children of Israel in 30-something days said, give us another God. This one's too slow. And they had watched the sea part. They had watched the googly-eyed perch come up to the edge looking at them, watching them as they're going, wow, this is the coolest thing. They had watched Egypt destroyed. As God did thing after thing after miracle after miracle after miracle. And they are just amazed at what God has done. 39 days later, give us another God. How does slippage like that happen? It can happen in all of our lives. The second we say, I would like to do this, I'd like to have this, but I need it sooner rather than later. They had their own agenda. Now, that's the first thing that happens. Can you imagine on the sixth day as Moses and Aaron, as Moses and Joshua were there? I bet it's 7 days. He just waited 6 days and I bet he's going to talk to us tomorrow. Okay. What if he doesn't? Joshua to Moses. Then we'll wait. Are you willing to wait on the Lord? Are you willing to wait on the Lord to get the right mate as a young person? Are you willing to wait on the Lord to get the right job? Are you willing to wait on the Lord? Fill in the blank. When they saw he delayed, always remember, when they saw he delayed was according to their schedule. We are operating as God's children on his schedule. He makes no mistakes. Now, what causes that? Number one, they weren't willing to wait on the Lord. Number two, what causes that? Selfishness. They were selfish. They said, we want to worship a God now. We don't care who. We just want any God. Moses, Aaron, just make us a God. How do people do that? The same 70 that ate dinner with God 39 days earlier are now saying, just give us any God. Folks, we have to be very careful because this old heart of ours wants what we want. It is selfish. We have to be careful. It ruins marriages. Well, if you're not going to give me what I want, honey, I'm going to go find somebody else that will. That happens every day in America. The impatience of our own souls. And every one of us in this room, we have to be careful. That impatience and the fruit of impatience or the impatience is the fruit of selfishness. But I deserve this. I want this. It's important to me. They had forgotten. They'd made a promise 39 days earlier. All that you say, we will do. And he said, I'm going to bring Moses up. Wait. 39 days later, give us another God. Folks, we have to be careful with our hearts to keep it where we surrender it to the Lord. First, they were not willing to wait. Second, their selfishness took over. We want a God now. We want a God like all the other gods are. I mean, the Moabites, they've got a God. The Jebusites, they got a God. We need a God. Ours has gotten lost someplace. It's been, who knows how long it's been. We need God. A God. You know, their faith was short-sighted. You have to wait on the Lord. You can't be selfish. And your faith can't be short-sighted. Do you realize that God doesn't make mistakes? He knows exactly what we need if we say, Lord, I'm yours. But the second we take that off and get our own agenda, our own selfishness, we're in trouble. They got in trouble. Now, 39 days later, Moses and Joshua have just about seen God finish writing the tables of stone. I tell you what, that would have been something special to watch. To watch God write in stone and see the stone flying all over the place as God's writing the Ten Commandments. Oh, I just thought about this. What does God's handwriting look like? I bet it's perfect. But I wished it wasn't so that I could feel better about my handwriting. But I bet his handwriting is absolutely perfect. You look at it and say, wow. Just like his will. Now, 39 days later, Aaron. Okay, take off your earrings. Take off your jewelry. Whatever possessed him to think of that? Whatever possessed him to take it, put it in a pot, put it all in there and boil it all up, and then make a golden calf? Whatever possessed him of that? Maybe he was jealous of not being able to go with his brother up the mount. Don't know. Maybe he was upset because he didn't know the timetable of God. We don't know. But we do know he says, okay, I'll make you gods. And Moses comes out of the mountain and said, what did they do to you? So we as husbands and fathers, there's pressure on all of us to yield into the world and to let our families go and make it easier on our children, easier on our families. But somebody in the home's got to stand up and say, no, telling the truth is always right. No, honoring the Lord is always right. No, spending time with the Lord is always right. No, having family prayer time is always right. No, these things we must do. Aaron threw all that away. All they had to look at him and say, look, folks, wait. Be patient. They wouldn't have liked it. No, be patient. Wait on the Lord. He makes no mistakes. He'll come down soon. But I want you to also notice, waiting on the Lord is a test of our trust in Him. When you wait on the Lord, it's a test to see if you really do believe He'll come through for you. They didn't. They didn't trust the Lord. Folks, God will not fail you. But you have to trust Him. And in these kind of days, I don't know what's going to happen next month. Or even this rest of this year. I heard somebody say yesterday, this rest of this year is going to be very interesting with all that's going on in our society. We don't know if this virus is going to come back with a vengeance in the fall. What about school? What about school opening? I have no idea what's going to happen. Why did Aaron surrender his spirituality? He was weak. He wasn't strong in the Lord. He was weak. And he didn't know it. And you know, that's why you and I need to spend time with the Lord on our knees and spend time in His Word. As Jeremy said this morning, you have your own copy of the Scriptures of what God says. We've got to strengthen ourselves so that when a test comes, we're not weak and fall. And not only that, but we have to be careful that we don't forget about the mightiness of God, that God can do anything. I mean, where did they ever get to the point where they forgot when they crossed that sea? Where did they forget that? How did they forget that? That would have been implanted in my mind forever, I think. But I'm just like them. I've seen the blessings of God in my life time after time after time, and I forget it and say, Lord, if you don't do this, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Impatient. Weak spiritually. And just susceptible to falling then. Not only that, they didn't realize the wrath of God would be the result. They didn't realize they'd hurt God and make him angry. Sin always does that. Slippage does that. The Lord loves you and I. Hey, let me ask this question. When you're a young boy or young girl, and you rode your bicycle out in the street and your parents told you not to, or you started messing around with a power cord and your parents told you not to, were they happy with you? No, they're unhappy with you. And they're trying to get you to understand that what you're doing was dangerous and you couldn't do that. They were upset with you. Well, God says, you can't do this. I'm upset with you. I love you. I want you back with me. I will take care of you. Now, all of a sudden, keep in mind, Aaron's making this golden calf. They're getting ready to worship this golden calf, and then it's made, and then they're running around it. Now, keep in mind, this all happens within 40 days, because in 40 days, Moses comes down from the mount. When he's up there, they're starting to come down. Joshua hears the noise. He says, wow, what is that sounding like? It sounded like somebody having I don't know if that's, man, it sounds like there's war. Here's the word. There's a noise of war in the camp. And Moses said, no, it's not the noise of war. It's the shout of mastery. It's like, we've done it. Exodus 32, verse number 18. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, nor cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that do sing. We've done it. There's rejoicing. What have they done? They've left the Lord. It's the shout of rejoicing over a false god. They've forsaken their great God, the only God of heaven. And you'll notice, verse 19, it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh into the camp, they saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. I mean, he was furious with them. I'm gone 30, and I'm gone 40 days, and you've already worshiping another God. I don't understand. What is it you don't realize about our great God? Now, I want you to see that it is important that there are some people like Moses. You know, there are passages like Isaiah 59. I want you to turn there if you would. Isaiah 59 that ought to get a hold of your heart, my heart. This is really what I want you to kind of focus in on today. Isaiah 59. Verse number 15. Yea, truth faileth. In other words, the truth is hard to find. It's not hard to find. It's right here in this book. Honesty is always right. Truthfulness is always right. Verse 15. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Now watch this. Unto Satan. And the Lord saw it and displeased him that there was no judgment. There was no one making good decisions. Now watch this in verse 16. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. You know, the one thing that Israel had that they didn't realize was of the greatest and supreme importance. They had a Moses. They had somebody that said, what have you done? They had somebody that stood up for right. They had somebody that was strong in the Lord. And folks, today, that's what we need in this church. That's what we need in our families. Somebody, mom, dad, but especially dads. And it could be children. It could be, I've seen children bring their families back to the Lord. But it is somebody's got to be strong enough to say, Lord, will you please protect my family? Will you protect my church? There's got to be somebody to protect Temple Baptist Church. There's got to be somebody concerned about this world and missions. God saw And there was no intercessor. Now, Moses was weak spiritually, and the peer pressure broke him. I'm fearful that the peer pressure of this old world is going to break us. It's going to change our moral standard. We're trying to figure out, you know, is it a man and a woman? Or I mean, we can't even define a family. We're just struggling. Our country's struggling. We're not consistent. We're not fair to each other. We don't love each other. Our hearts are not, Lord, I want you to be first. There were some U.S., I don't know if it was senators, I think it was congressmen, that they were swearing somebody in last week, and the floor, the gentleman that is responsible for order, spoke up and said, "Oh," and he spoke to the congressman and said, "They didn't finish the swearing in processes in God We Trust." And he said, "Oh, we're going to dispense with that. We don't do that anymore. We don't need to do that now. It offends some people." In our U.S. Congress last week. And the guy spoke up again and said, "But it's been in our Constitution. It's been a part of our fabric for 250 years. Well, we're changing that. We're not doing that anymore." And they didn't. Okay? All I'm trying to say to you is that there's going to come a point in time where we're going to sit down to pray, and we're not going to take the time to say, "Lord, thank you for what you've provided for us." We're going to sit down to eat. And we're not going to take the time to say, "Lord, thank you." Do you realize that nobody in this room can make corn grow? Nobody in this room can make a cow grow. Only God can do that. Nobody in this room can provide food. God does that. And no one in this room can give you the strength to go out and do a garden. "Well, I did my own garden." "Yeah, and where did you get the water from? And who made the dirt? And who gave you the seed? And who gave you the strength to plow and to till and to keep the weeds out of it? Who gave you the strength to do that? Who gave you the mind to be able to think well enough about what's next? Do you understand we need the Lord? All of us in this room, we need the Lord. But you can't let slippage happen to where there's no one that cares. There's not somebody that says, "Lord, use me." And I'm reminded, if you have your Bible, you see the thing, ingredients for strength. I want you to see this morning. And this is really the crux of the whole message. I want you to see slippage happens in all of our lives. But it doesn't have to if you'll have these things in your life. And notice, if you will, number one, Moses was willing to sacrifice himself, put others first. He valued others before himself. Every great leader, every great intercessor has to forget himself and put other people first. And that's what you have to do and I have to do. If we're going to lead, if we're going to save our family, if we're going to do what we can do, if we're going to keep our own heart right, we have to put ourselves last and put the Lord first. We have to sacrifice. Notice what Exodus chapter 32, verse 30. "And it came to pass on the morrow, next morning, and Moses said unto the people, 'Ye have sinned a great sin. You've done the wrong thing. And now I will go up unto the Lord, and peradventure, maybe, I shall make an atonement for your sin. Maybe there's something he'll allow me to do to make up for what you've done in 39 days. Folks, there's got to be somebody that cares enough for your children to say, "I'm going to stand up for my kids. I'm going to stand up for my wife. I'm going to stand up for my school. I'm going to stand up for my neighborhood." There's got to be an intercessor. But there are none unless you take yourself and sacrifice yourself and say, "I don't have to have what I want. I don't have to be first." Verse 31, "And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, 'Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Verse 32, yet now, if thou wilt not forgive their sin, and you'll notice it's the only dash in the scriptures. He ran out of words. He broke down. He couldn't say anymore. He couldn't bear the thought of the children of Israel, all as a nation, dying and going to hell. If thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. Lord, let me go to hell in their place. Who does that? Somebody that puts themselves last, not first. That's not always interested in what I can get. But they see the needs of other people first. Oh, it's not just, you know, I just throw it out there and just say, you know, I want you to have everything you want. It is, look, I want you to be close to the Lord. This is a spiritual thing. He's on his knees saying, Lord, please, if you will forgive their sin, please. And then he breaks down. He starts weeping. I am certain uncontrollably. And God said, Moses, he said, if not, would you just take me out of the book? Lord, and you got to understand what he's saying. Moses loved the Lord. The Bible says that Moses and God talked face to face as a man's friend. Does he friend? The Bible says his face shone like the sun because he was in the presence of God and the glory of God shined on him. So when he came down the mountain, they said, oh, Moses, put on a mask. We can't, your face is shining. He says, it is. The presence of God. Did you know we're supposed to have our faces shining and people are supposed to say, oh, wow, there's something different about you. And it's that great love for God. It's that presence of the Lord in our lives that changes everything. There's got to be an intercessor. There's got to be somebody strong enough to say when the whole world goes the wrong direction, one man stood up and says, what have you done? And he looked at Aaron, the guy in charge, and says, what did they do to you? You see, God doesn't find any excuse for us giving up on him, no matter what happens. Well, you know, I've been to church, but you know, I just exhausted myself. We were gone and I got back late and I'm sorry, I'm just tired. And you know, well, we had a breakdown and this and that. And I'm just exhausted. You know, I don't have time to pray this morning. I'm late. The Lord says, I'm just looking for somebody who will consistently do the right thing. I need somebody that won't give up. I need somebody that will put everybody else first before me. Secondly, sacrificed himself, number one. Number two, he was sure God would come through. Are you sure your God is able? When he came down, he said, I was sure. I was on the mountain 40 days. I had to wait 7 days for God to say a word. But I knew him. I was sure he was going to give us what he said. I know him. When he says something, I can count on it. I was there for 40 days. I could have been there 40 years. But I knew God was going to come through for us. He was going to give us guidelines that we could walk with him. And here they are. Broke them all. We don't deserve to have a God like this. Had to go back up on the mountain and get them again. God is looking for an intercessor. You say, well, Pastor, my family's pretty well grown. It's not too late to pray. Are you sure God will answer? I'm sure there's a God that's listening. And I'm sure if our lives are clean and pure, God will bless. I'm sure of that. So the surety and the confidence in God causes us to be able to wait on him. If you have your Bible, turn me, if you would. I want you to notice this. In Psalm 27, Tom 27, 14. Psalm 27, 14. Verse 13, he says this. Listen to this. I had fainted. Now listen to this. We're going to faint. We're going to slip. Every one of us. If you got a health issue, I don't know when God is ever going to answer. I don't know when God is, if God is going to answer. Look, God will always do one of three things. Number one, he will say, no, I'm not going to take that away from you. Two, but I will give you the strength to go through it. Three, I will remove it. It's always one of those things. Three things. Do you believe that? Do you know God? So Moses said, I am sure that God will come through for us. God's looking for people. Every intercessor, every leader spiritually has got to know that God is sure to come through for you. Notice what he says in verse 13. I had fainted unless, what does it say? I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Unless I was sure. That's what he's saying. I know God's going to do something. Now, do you know that? I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven, and one of these days when we step foot inside heaven, every one of us is going to look at each other and say, it was true. Everything that he said was true. But you can't win another soul to Christ. You can't pray another prayer and it make a difference. It's too late. It's not too late now, for God's looking for intercessors. Folks, there may be some people not come back to church. We got to go hunt them down and say, look, we need you. We love you. There's people that are struggling physically. Do you realize there's more suicides? It's not written. There's more suicides now than ever before. You know why? People are giving up. Somebody's got to say, I'm not, I'm sure. I had fainted too unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. I know him. Moses says, I know God, so I can wait. Notice, let me finish the verse, verse 14. But let's go read it again, verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait, I say, and he shall strengthen thine heart. If you're not very strong, learn to wait on him. Waiting strengthens us. I hate that. I want to be strong, but the last thing I want to do is wait. How about you? How many are with me? I don't like to wait. I mean, this morning in my microwave, I fixed my oatmeal. It takes 1 minute. I mean, let me tell you what I've done. I'll tell you how patient I am. When I walk in, breakfast, I like to eat, but I don't like to fix it. And so, there's a conundrum. Now what am I going to do? So, every morning I go in, and in my pantry, right above the cabinet doors, right above the refrigerator, there's two doors open up. On the left-hand side is a great big bucket of Quaker oatmeal. Quick Quaker oatmeal. I'm looking for the 30-second, the 1 minute, the best I got right now. And so I get that 1 minute oatmeal, I take it out, and I got the bowl right there beside it. It's a paper bowl because I don't like to wash. So it's a paper bowl, and I got the paper, I've got the plastic forks right there, plastic spoons right there. I get the plastic spoon. I got a dipper in there that's got exactly half a cup. It pours it in there real quick. Take my paper plate over it, put it underneath, and I got an Instahot. You know what that is? Somebody know what that is? An Instahot. Water comes out of that Instahot at 180 degrees or 212 degrees, whatever you set it at, so you can make instant coffee or you can make an instant bubble on your finger. I've done that before because I wasn't sure it was hot enough. So I'm going to check it out and run my finger underneath it, my finger bubble up. I said, I should have been sure the directions were right, like an idiot, And so I want to get it done quick. So I put it in instant oatmeal, stir it around, and it automatically got. Now, I'm 30 seconds into this process, I go over to my microwave, push the button, microwave opens up, put it in there, 30 seconds, 1 minute. And I go around, and I put coffee, put it in the thing, and it makes it in about 45 seconds. So put it over there, and so I walk back over here, and bing, I go over there, get my oatmeal out, and I get that spoon, I start stirring around, I go up there, get my peanut butter, pull out, I got peanut butter up there. And I got honey right beside that. I get them both out, take a spoon of peanut butter, put it in there, honey, psh, and I stir it around. And I'm finished with breakfast in about 8-9 minutes. Start to finish. And looking for a way to get it done in 5 or 6, if I could do that. Really, I'd like to get it done in less than 5 minutes. I just don't know how I can fix that oatmeal any faster than that. And then I'm ready to go. And so I look at it and say, Lord, you want me to wait? I can't even wait on 3-minute oatmeal. You want me to wait? Lord says, yes. It's a test of your trust in me. Okay. But what allows me to wait is my absolute assurance that God is good and that He will never fail me. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. So do you believe the Lord this morning? Maybe you've got a weak faith. But you'll notice He says, in verse 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage. Encourage yourself that God is true and God is real. And He said, and I will strengthen you. So there's one of the secrets to strength. So number one, it is sacrifice yourself. Number two, be sure that God is real. Be sure that God will come through for you. And you learn to wait on Him. Now number three, be satisfied with God. Be satisfied. Wait. Be satisfied. Learn to wait. Lord, I'm trying to be satisfied. Lord, I'll wait. I'm trying to be satisfied, Lord. You know, satisfaction is hard to come up, hard to do. Contentment's a hard thing. We have more stuff than anybody in the history of the world, and we're not satisfied. You know, Solomon told us, take your Bible and turn to Ecclesiastes, and we'll see you why. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, or chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, very quickly. I'm over time, but I tell you, I want you to see this. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse number 9. So I was great. He didn't put himself last. And increased more than all were before me in Jerusalem. Verse 10. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not from my heart any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor. I looked around at all that I had and I said, wow, wonderful. Look at my refrigerator. I got cold food in there. I got a freezer side. It's got frozen food for last for months. I've got a car in the garage. Wow, look at all the things I've got. I got a wife that loves me. I got children that love me. I got all these different things. Wow, I got a great job. And what about the Lord? Verse 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity. It's worthless. You know why? Because the only thing that's important is people. Other things are just stuff. People. The Johnsons are important. The Chanutas are important. The Toppers are important. The Duns are important. You're important. So as a pastor, my job is to be an intercessor for you. It's to stand up and say, look, I'm not the most important person here. You are. And I know the Lord. He will not fail us. I'm sure of it. And number three, I'm satisfied that with what God's given me. I'm grateful to be here. Do you know, I've been here 31 years. I've had a lot of opportunities to leave and go someplace else. But I'm satisfied. This is where God's called me. Lord, I'm satisfied where you want me to be. It helps you stay at a job that God's called you to. Are you satisfied? It helps you be happy with the wife that you've got, or the husband that you've got, or the parents that you've got. Are you satisfied? Number four, Moses was surrendered to the Lord. you go back to the original passage, Exodus chapter 32. I want you to flip over one more chapter. You'll see Exodus 33. And notice, if you would, the Lord was so upset with the children of Israel that he said, Moses, you take them on. Look at verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Moses, you're special to me, but those people, you just take them. Now, therefore, verse 13, if I have found grace, notice what he says, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Lord, I'm surrendered. I'll do anything you want me to do, that I may know thee. Moses is still attached to the Lord from the hip. He says, Lord, I got to have you. Lord, you show me the way. I help them. But Lord, you got to show me the way. He was surrendered to the Lord personally. And that was why Moses was strong. He never gave up. He came down off the mountain. And if you remember the passage, he says, yet now if thou wilt forgive their sin. I think his faith wavered a little bit, that maybe God was so angry he wasn't going to forgive them. But he says, if not, blot me out of thy book. He said, I'll just throw myself at God's feet and say, Lord, I can't live with it. Verse 16 of chapter 33. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not? Is it not in that thou goest with us? Are you surrendered enough to the Lord to say, Lord, I've got to have you with me? I mean, if you surrendered and said, Lord, I'm not going any place unless you go with me. You're the one. You're the difference. That's what an intercessor is made of. Someone that says, I don't have to have my way. But I know him, I'm sure. And I'm satisfied where I am right this minute. Lord, I'm going to be content. Whatever state I am, therewith to be content, Paul said. I'm satisfied right here, Lord. I'm going to wait on you. I hate waiting. But I've learned one thing. There's a God in heaven. It never fails. So I'm going to surrender and trust him. Lord, whatever you want, I want your way for my life. I want your path for my life. I want you. So, you know, I don't want to get COVID-19. I don't want to die not being able to breathe very well. But, Lord, I want you more. So whatever you want is fine with me. If you can get to that point, you're strong. Are you the strong this morning? Or one of these days, your children look and say, what happened to you? Like Moses did to Aaron. Lord Jesus, would you touch our hearts this morning, dear Lord? Lord, I want to please you. Father, I want Temple Baptist Church to please you. Lord, it all centers around you. And are we willing to be intercessors? Lord, I pray that you'd protect our country. Lord, so preserve our freedom so we can worship you. But Lord, if not, whatever you want, Lord, we're in your care. I pray that you'd speak to heart this morning. Father, maybe there's some here this morning that have never trusted you as Savior. Their name's not written in the book. Lord, I'm thankful you would not have blotted Moses' name out of the book. It's written in the blood of your son. Lord, I'm asking this morning that you would help us draw near to you and surrender. In your name we pray. Amen.